Oh, yes.
Thank you, brother.
This is your coffee.
Thank you. It's good to... Am I on, right? Okay, thank you. It's good to see everybody tonight. And I want to thank Brother Bacino and this wonderful church for allowing us to come. And then Miss Linda made us a wonderful meal tonight. Don't want to make anybody jealous, but she had some roast beef that if it wasn't made in heaven, it has the same zip code. And mashed potatoes and salad and, wow, then some kind of a dessert that when I ate a piece of it, I thought I heard angels singing. And it was absolutely fantastic. And she had three or four kinds of dressing. I put a little bit about everything. Then my eyes crossed. And but it was a wonderful, wonderful meal. And I tell you what, I'd like to come back sometime just to have another meal like that. I asked them if we could cancel our plane tickets and come back tomorrow night. But it's good to see everybody, and thank you for being here with us tonight. And Brother Bacino and our minds must be working somewhat alike. That could be dangerous. But anyway, I want to preach a little bit tonight. I've just been messing around the first three nights, and I want to preach a little bit tonight. Is that all right with you? And we're going to rear back and preach tonight. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Lamentation, chapter 1. I couldn't get settled on this message. Shirlene asked me tonight, said, what are you going to preach on? And I said, well, I said, I think God will give me something. And so I've slept off and on today just a little bit and did a few errands, but do any of you get sleepy during the day? Anybody in here kind of get sleepy just a little bit? You all time? Yeah. I noticed last night as I was preaching, it seemed like it hit you just a little bit. No, Maggie, it didn't. I'm just saying that. You know I'm just teasing now. But if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Lamentation. I'm not going to read the entire verse. You English scholars will know what I'm saying if I say I'm going to do nouns and predicates, right? Subjects and predicates. Let's take a look here. The Bible said, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? 2, she weepeth sore in the night. 3, Judah is gone into captivity. 4, the waves of Zion do mourn. 5, her adversaries are the chief. 6, her beauty is departed. 7, Jerusalem remembered. 8, Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. 9, her filthiness is in her skirts. 10, the adversary hath spread out his hand. 11, all her people sigh. And here's the text. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? I'm looking for some Christian patriots in Dover, New York. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Our Heavenly Father, help us to be at our best for you tonight. In Jesus' name, and amen. I think I quoted this the other night, but I want to quote it again. It's short. Pat Buchanan, in his book, The Death of the West, said, in half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their values assaulted, their country invaded, and themselves demonized as bigots and extremists for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held for generations. You see, I came up in a different generation. You'll have to pardon me. I mean, grass was something we mowed when I was growing up. There was a day and time when we took a very popular sports athlete. He was on the outside box of Wheaties. And now you can put his picture on Fruit Loops. We're living in a different day and time. And it seems like the crazier it gets, the more that Washington, D.C. likes it. I don't know what's happened. But the abnormal has become normal. The abhorrent has become acceptable. And what God calls reprobate, we call it an alternative lifestyle. I'm concerned about America. I'm concerned about our churches. I'm concerned about those of us that like standards, that like absolutes. Little boy went old enough to go to college, and his professor said, "Do you believe in absolutes?" The young man asked him. He said, "Absolutely not." And I'm here to tell you today, there are some absolutes. G.K. Chesterton, the British historian, said, "Men will either be governed by the Ten Commandments or they shall be governed by the 10,000 commandments." The more Congress meets, the more idiotic the laws are. The more bureaus, the more departments, the agencies. I've been to Washington probably about as much as anybody. And I go there and I try to give books and we try to do interviews. And the gentleman, and I'm not being political, but I interviewed James Comer, the first district congressman from Kentucky. And right in his office, he's a good man. Goes to a Baptist church there in Kentucky. And he told me that of the incoming freshmen in the House of Representatives, 25% refused to be sworn in on the Bible. What's happened to us? 102 people got in that tiny Mayflower. They were at sea 65 days, and Governor Winthrop said, "When we arrive, we bless the God of heaven for safe deliverance," and said, "We're here for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian religion." They weren't coming here with their favorite copy of the Koran. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. You ever done any? Somebody told us that, well, so that's a peaceful religion. It's peaceful if you're, I guess, if you're part of their group, but you don't advertise that you're a Christian, because we're looked upon as the great Satan. And it's an honor to them to take us out. Look it up for yourselves tonight, folks. We've had our head in the sand too long. I'm looking for some people that'll be bold. The brother back there just gave me the name of this station, WJTV. I'm going to try to get on it. I'm calling them tomorrow. The Lord help us. I want to do more with this gospel. We've got to have some men with a backbone like a cross tie. We don't need some people up there in skinny jeans trying to act like the world. The Bible said, "Come ye from among the world and be a separate people." Somebody say amen there. Oh, listen here. He said, "This city's sitting solitary." I look today at my files that'll go on our next TV program. And I'm quoting a man there that's got some dire predictions for America. A retired Army colonel. And he's talking about what we may be facing as a nation. I told Miss Shirley today, I said, "Honey, I think we're going to revolution in this country. I'm not so sure that it'll be solved peaceably." You know, we have five rights in the First Amendment. "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, nor shall freedom of speech, press, petition, and assembly be denied." Peaceably assembly. We've got the right to assemble. Why is it that the liberal crazies are the only ones that have right? We now seem to be proud of the things that used to be an embarrassment to us. We talk things on the news, hear people talking about transgender transformation. God help us today. I never heard of such things when I was growing up. I believe I was under what they call naivety, I didn't know very much. I really didn't. I was as green as a gourd, as he used to say in the mountains. I didn't, honestly, it's a wonder Shirley would have ever put up with me. I'm telling you, I was way behind the times back there. I didn't know much about the birds and certainly didn't know anything about bees. We're living in a different day and time. Even the people on the news want to use filthy barnyard talk. Why do they think that necessary? Why can't we use the colloquialisms, use the rhetoric, the narrative, the enunciations? What other words can I come up with that used to speak well? A man told me one time, he said, if you want some good advice, you better talk to an older man that eats a slice of apple off his knife. The men in suits in Washington, D.C. about messed up everything. I think I'll start wearing bib overalls. Notice it said here that the country is weeping sore in the night. It said Judah is gone into captivity. Her adversaries are the chief. This happened. You want me to tell you when this happened? Brother Bacino, you can correct me, but I believe it was around 686 B.C., August, that Judah had gone into captivity. Judah's in captivity. Let me tell you, my friend, you better not be voting for anybody that does not have a pro-Israel standpoint. Amen? And anybody that votes for a liberal candidate that endorses abortion ought to be dismissed from any fundamental Bible-believing church. Is that strong enough? Pretty strong, isn't it? Let me tell you something. We have people today that are wanting handouts over integrity. We'll not win any more elections as long as the voting is confined to the cities like Chicago, down in Georgia, down in those places like Detroit, Washington, D.C. It's not the people in Dover, New York that we have to worry about. It's the people in Albany. Amen. New York City. Can you believe that the people in New York City, would you want them to pick out bananas for you if you were going to eat one? Like that guy told me, said his wife put him on bananas and coconuts for a diet. Said he didn't lose a speck of weight, but he kept wanting to climb trees, he said. Oh, let me tell you something here. I believe the day the Bible says Jerusalem remembered. I wonder what they thought about it. Ronald Reagan made this statement. He said, I don't want to live to the point in time where my grandkids will ask me, what was it once like to live in America where people were free? God help us tonight. I want to get to my notes just for a moment. What it is, we've got a lot of preachers today, and I'm going to take over the preachers just for a moment. Some of them are showmen. Some of them are salesmen. Superstars. I wouldn't walk across the street to hear from these people that tell you, you can name it and claim it, and that this is your best day. And I'm not following any women preachers either. Somebody say amen right there. Is that okay? Is that all right? I'm not going to go hear of these people that draw them in by the busloads and the thousands to tell me anything. I wouldn't want them to tell me the price of eggs on the stock market. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. We need an awareness. We need an acknowledgement. And we ought to get busy tonight. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? That's verse number 12 right there in the Bible where Jeremiah is asking the question. Brother Clarence Sexton preached this message. I didn't get these notes from him. Probably should have, but I didn't. Let me tell you, I've mentioned it before. Christianity can survive without America, but we'll never make it without Christianity. Oh, let me tell you something. I believe that the church needs to be governed by the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't need to be interpreted by the church. I believe that one didn't go over good. Let me repeat it again. We need to determine what you believe by this Bible. If the Bible says it, you can believe it. I had a friend of mine, he was a character. He just died last year, but he was a good buddy. Some of them used to say that he and I acted like cousins. I don't know what they had against me. But anyway, he made this statement. He said he liked to do devotions. Said, I even did them, Andrew, when I was a youngster. Said, I was in my teenage years. And said, I wanted to do a devotion. So I went over to the old Bible, thought I'd pick out one of the first families. And said, I went to Noah. And said, I was reading along there and said, and Noah took a wife. He said, I didn't know that two pages of the Bible had stuck together. And he said, I read it again. Said, and Noah took a wife. And said, I turned over there and said she was 50 cubits wide and pitched with tar. He said, well, folks, don't ask me to explain it, but the Bible says it, I believe it. Oh, let me tell you something here. Was it G.K. Chesterton, did I just mention that, that said that men would be governed either by the Bible? Did you know that Andrew Jackson said the Bible is the foundation upon which this republic rests? Those men believed in something back then. They weren't bought out at the ballot box. They didn't stuff ballots in the middle of the night. And somebody say amen right there. In Exodus chapter 18, it gives you four qualifications if you're going to seek office. It said you ought to be a man of truth. You ought to be able. You ought to be a person that hates covetousness. You ought to be one that loves the Lord. Oh, Moses even gave the division of the nation then when he said they'd divide them into hundreds and fifties and tens. He was telling about a federal, state, and local arrangement, was he not? What's made us give up on the Bible? It's hard to be the salt of the earth, as I said the other night, when you sugarcoat the Bible. Right? People won't like it, but that's okay. They didn't like it in Noah's day. Don't you imagine those people thought, Noah, what a great idiot this guy is, building some kind of long contraption? I don't know about you, but I've got to ask you, Brother Deacon, and the rest of you all this question. When I was growing up, and I've told Brother Bacino this, I felt like I was stupid. You ever feel that way? I may still feel it. No, I mean, I didn't know that the ark was such a big contraption. Did you? I didn't. I thought the ark was something about the length of these pews here, and maybe kind of a cutout situation, kind of that could stay afloat in the water. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was 450 feet long. What about that? Has anybody seen the ark in Kentucky? I've been down there. Brother Bacino was on it. Brother Bacino took one of the parts on the ark. He played the part of Noah. He and Linda had the best suite in the house. They had it all tapestry and they had everything. Brother Bacino knows how to work the ark, now I'm telling you. Listen here, let me just tell you something. In all cases, the scripture is to be judged by the scripture. Oh, listen here today. It says here, I get to wondering this sometimes. Why is it that seemed like in a day and time of technology, when everybody's so innovative and entrepreneurial, when people are building businesses from homes and they're becoming instantly rich, I get to wondering, why is it that I'm so poor? You know, I'm not down on, listen, God's been greater to me than I could have ever. God forbid that I should even utter one word of despair when I think about how that the Lord, one day in mercy, reached down and saved me, gave me a hope of heaven. Somebody say amen. Does that excite you? Somebody said, yeah, it does excite me. They said, boy, you just hang on to her for a minute. I'm about to really get excited. I'm hoping that somewhere I go to one of these days, and they're getting there. It'll be this way here at this church when I come back. Of course, I'll probably be 90 then, but anyway, Brother Messina's already booking up to the year 2050. And, I mean, 27 more years, you'd have to help me in on a stretcher. But I'm just simply saying here tonight, is it nothing to us in this present generation? Did you know that your grandkids are looking to you? Education. The best definition of education that I ever heard. Would you like for me to give it to you? Would it be all right? A man told me this, and I memorized it. So if you tell me something is good, I may put it to memory. See, I'm at the point in my life where I can share my social security number with some of my friends because they can't believe it. They can't remember it either. But here's what he said. He said, education is the acquisition of knowledge or the acquiring of knowledge that produces a change in your attitude. And then a corresponding change in your behavior. Why is it that people act so awful? It's because they're awful. Right? We don't sin, or we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We've got a bad nature about us. Somebody say that. Our nature is not good. You ask your spouse, say, do I have a good nature? Whatever they tell you, just go with it. We ought to be changing our attitudes about things, and I know it's hard. We live in a culture today where we have sheeple. You know what sheeple are? Those are people that follow other people. They do exactly what other people do. Other people, you know, they can wear one leg up and one pant down. They can part their hair in the middle, shave one side, and leave the other long. And it's not long until people say, oh, man, get me to the barber in a hurry. I'd like to have the right side hanging down to my waist, and I want the other side to be bald. Oh, man, will I be a cool dude. They'll wear a toboggan when it's August. That's true. They want to go swimming sometime with a Fifth Army overcoat on. You meet all kind of crazies out there. You know what's happened? Secondly, it's our families that have deteriorated. You show me a broken home and I'll show you probably broken kids. You show me stable families and I'll show you a good neighborhood. Why is it that the neighborhoods where the kids score about 500 on the SAT, which they give to them, they have problems? You know why they're having problems? Kids don't know anything about discipline. Their moms are out too late at night, and their dads may be on drugs. They live in neighborhoods where there's gangs and fights and criminals and activities. Ronald Reagan said one time, he said, we shouldn't blame society for the deeds of one person. He said, we ought to lock them up. And if we don't throw away the key, we ought to lose it for a good while. I believe that we ought to have punishment for crime. Anybody believe that? I believe it, don't you? I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great lawgiver. He's also our judge. But more importantly right now, he's our advocate if you'll come to him. Amen? Boy, he's a good lawyer. Somebody say amen there. Down in Texas, a guy went up to the cemetery stone and it said, here lies Daniel J. Smith, a lawyer and an honest man. The guy looked at it and said, oh, I see you're burying them too deep down here now. And so, I'm not picking on lawyers. I'm just simply saying here is this. We ought to have a good reputation. The Bible says that they are we've grievously sinned. How much more do we have to do? Did you know that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by a sinful lifestyle? You see a rainbow somewhere, don't it make you sick? I mean, it's gag-a-maggot. See these educated people walking around like they know what's going on, just as happy as they can be. Like they're looking at them. Like that two guys were out camping. And one of them woke the other one up and he said, Sam, what do you see? He said, oh, I see beautiful stars. There's galaxies. He said, no doubt, there's probably hundreds and thousands of them. He said, from an educational standpoint, I wonder about the constellations. I wonder about the movement that I see. Sam looked over at his buddy Joe and he said, what do you see, Joe? He said, I'm wondering who stole our tent. We're living. Isn't it amazing? Have we gotten to the point where we can't even see? You know the thing that bothers me and I worry about it? The Bible lets it be known the time will come when there will be great deception. Great deception. We'll be deceived and not even know it. The Bible said the time would come. I guess it's right before the tribulation or somewhere thereafter. He said that if possible, they would deceive the very elect. That's the Jewish state. They are the elect of God. God said, I didn't choose you because you were the greatest in number. He said, you were the fewest in number, but I chose you because I loved you. Amen. Oh my, help us tonight, Lord. See, I think that when I think about all of these great quotations, I think about men that gave everything and believed in the right way. I went down here to Roger Sherman's marker. Anybody seen that down here at Sherman? I think up in New Yorkers, they call it Scheumann. But anyway, somebody's going to help my piano player here. My point is this here tonight. I didn't know that Sherman had signed four of the original documents. Shoe cobbler. I don't know if he preached any or not, but he was probably a mender of bad souls. Now I'm making a heel out of myself. I didn't know he'd signed the Articles of Commission and then the Declaration, then the Articles of Confederation. Now you all remember the Articles of Confederation, don't you? I can tell right now. You all remember. Then the Constitutional Convention. Don't you like that preamble? We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the general welfare, do solemnly declare our allegiance to this United States of America and to its posterity. Who is that? Posterity sounds like something you might take, don't it? Our future people out there, the future, the people that will be coming after us, people that will bear your name. Any of you got children that bear your name? Sure. Who was that guy that was talking to this lady down in Mexico? She had two boys. One and the other was a mole. And she told her friend, said, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. So anyway, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Let me give you just two or three other things here tonight. I want to say this about it here. We are facing probably the most difficult times we've ever faced. We're told that in the end times, in the book of Jude, it talks about those without clouds, without rain. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking even about this AI stuff. Brother Anthony would know all about this, I'm sure. But what is it? Automated ingenuity or something that takes the place of your brain? Shirley said she hoped she got one soon. She'd like to replace the ones that she has. My brain doesn't work too good sometimes. How about yours? But is it nothing to you? How many of you say it's something to me? I'm concerned about it. Mark Twain said this, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a brave and scarce man, often hated and scorned. But when his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him. For them, it costs nothing to be a patriot. Wouldn't you like to be one of those? I want to give you these three things. And we got to help each other. We got to help educate everybody. Look at educate from the very Latin. Ed means, you know, to lead. Kate, you're leading people from ignorance, supposedly, to some knowledge. Then we got to not only educate, we've got to advocate. We've got to use our Facebooks and warn people. Tell them to get to church. Praise God. Amen. It doesn't help me or you or anybody else if we stay away from church. The more you miss church, it'll get to the point where you don't miss it. That's the way it'll be. It gets easier to miss church all the time. One guy told me, he said he went to bedside assembly. Another one said he liked the church of what's happening now. Lord, help us tonight. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Brother Bacino led right into my message tonight, and I knew then God was on my trail. God was on my trail tonight. I'm trying to tell you, let's be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's tell others about His wondrous love. Let's tell others that He can forgive to the uttermost. Amen. And bring people from the guttermost. Amen. That He makes people new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. Sure He does. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm glad today that my reservation has been secured. I've made it sure. The closing night here, I realize in a way it's kind of a sad night for me from this standpoint. I know that my chances of getting back may be slim at best. I know that. The reason I say it, everything has to be coordinated. And I'm not saying because I feel depressed about my age. I want to be as resolute now as I was 10 years ago. I want to. I'm not ready for a rocking chair and a bucket of hot water and a shawl around my neck. I don't want to go there, do you? Let's get up and do something. Shine each other's shoes. You're still using Kiwi shoe polish, aren't you? Or has that faded out too? And I'm not picking on somebody. Just bear with me. I told somebody, I said, I can't wear Nike shoes. I said, they hurt my feet when I stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I have a little fun with you. But let me tell you something here tonight, neighbor. I want to stand, don't you? I want to stand for the Bible, the Word of God. I want to stand for salvation by grace through faith. I want to stand and tell others that I have a hope of heaven, that one day I'll pass from this terrestrial. I'm going to a celestial place called heaven, where I'll be seated in the heavenlies with Jesus, my Redeemer, Brother Bacino. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?
A few things I'd like to say, and I want you to listen carefully. Some of you know where I'm coming from because you've heard me say this before. We have the Word of God tonight. We've had the man of God, but we also have had the moving of the Spirit. Tonight at dinner, Brother Henry and I did not converse on what he was preaching or what my preliminary thoughts would be, but God did. It's a man after my own heart. But when God does that, he's substantiating, isn't he, brother?
Amen.
He's authenticating that this is the message that you need to hear. But what will you do with it? That was his question tonight. Amen?
Yeah.
That was, what are you going to do about it? You know what I'm afraid of? That you're going to walk out the door tonight, you're going to go home, and you're going to turn your TV on, and you're going to forget the Spirit of God spoke here tonight. The Spirit of God wants to move in all of our hearts, including this preacher. Brother Andrew was bold in telling the truth. We don't have enough preachers doing that. And I thank him for his boldness. We need to hear it. And we need to get out there and be bold. Now be very careful. I'm not saying we go out and we hate people. We get accused of that. We got to love people to Christ. But we also have to stand against sin, and we have to start telling people what the Bible says. There's a hell. If people don't repent, that's where they're going. And I'm wondering if you believe that truly with all of your heart, mind, and soul. We have a responsibility to the Holy Spirit tonight. The man of God spoke, the Word of God spoke, and the Spirit of God is speaking to all of us. God has authenticated and substantiated this message. Because we did not converse on this. How many times have we seen that in church? Sometimes it's a song the choir will sing right before the sermon. And we didn't converse on it. God's already ahead of us. He knows exactly what we need. And you know what we need today? We need to stop being pleasure-seeking, pain-avoiding Christians. And we need to begin to take up the cross. We need to begin to realize if we're going to save this country, it's going to cost sacrifice. Everything that Brother Andrew mentioned tonight, I have preached one time or another, and you know that. One of the things that came to my mind, he was talking about all these patriots, was George Washington, the father of this nation, the first president, in his farewell address, said if we remove the principles and the pillars of Christianity, this nation will fall. And we are crumbling. And we have to be honest. You know, if we're not going to stand up for what we believe and fight for what we know is right, we will crumble. Christianity does not eat America. I like that statement. It'll stand all on its own. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my words will not pass away. I honestly don't know what else to do but to pray for our church. And not just for our church, that would be selfish, but for every Bible-believing, preaching, gospel church that we get on fire. We can save this nation if we want to. But my fear is that we've adopted the Laodicea mindset. Oh well, I have what I need. I'll just sit back and relax. And then we'll see our nation fall to the wayside. And our grandchildren will wonder one day, what was it like to live in an America that was free? America that was the home of the brave. Sometimes I think of my father who fought in the Second World War at every major battle of the European theater. Was hit 3 or 4 times with shrapnel. He said they patched me up enough to send me to the next battle. Came home with a messed up spine. He came home with his feet frozen at the Battle of the Bulge. And he suffered all of his life from those atrocities. And I think about the thousands and thousands and thousands of others who put their lives on the line to give us the freedom. And we are literally spitting in their face. If we won't stand up for the country they fought and died for. I know I'm talking to Christians tonight, so I'm not going to give an invitation to be saved because you can only be saved once. Amen? I will ask you to examine your heart. What will you do? And it begins in the local church that we could, number one, grow our church and help our nation. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. God, thank you that brought Brother Andrew here to stir us by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that in the near future, if he's in our area, that he would come and be with us. Pray, Lord, as he leaves and goes to other churches, that they would be mightily blessed as we have been, and that they would be generous in their giving and helping. Father, I pray an anointing upon him for strength and vitality. It has inspired me, even as I am older, to recognize you can strengthen your servants as long as they're obedient to you, as you did Moses. Even when he was 120 years old, his eyes were not dim, nor his strength abated. I pray this for this man of God and for myself and others like us. Now, Lord, I ask that you do what I cannot do, embolden the people that are here. May we go home tonight and begin to think and pray, what can I do to help America? What can I do by helping my church? And God, we'll leave the rest to you. We give you the praise for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's take our songbook. If God spoke to your heart tonight and you want to come and just pray at the front, there are cushions here. And you can avail yourself to them if you'd like. Let's take the songbook right now and open to 359. I think we'll close with "The Lord Keeps a Song in Our Heart." 359. Let's go to verse 5. I think it'll be encouragement to us that we recognize he's coming back. We need to get busy.
Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. Shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I.
Father, as we go from this place, embolden us, empower us, encourage us. Move your church, O God, in these days we pray. For Christ's sake, amen and amen. You are dismissed.
And folks, we've got the handbook on DVD if anybody wants it. We just asked $10 for these. Anybody wants them? Thank you.
Don't forget the handbooks. They're on the table in the back and in the hall.
Or do we have any books back here in that box, or is the box back here?